Chapter 13, The Living Principle of Brotherhood.
God's law is fulfilled only as men love him with heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their neighbor as themselves. It is the manifestation of this love that brings glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. The Lord is glorified when the great end of his law is attained. It is the work of the Holy Spirit from age to age to impart love to human beings and human hearts, for love is the living principle of brotherhood. Not one nook or corner of the soul is to be a hiding place for selfishness. God desires that heaven's plan shall be carried out, and heaven's divine order and harmony prevail in every family, in every church, in every institution. Did this love leaven society, we should see the outworking of noble principles in Christian refinement and courtesy, and in Christian charity toward the purchase of the blood of Christ. Spiritual transformation would be seen in all our families, in our institutions, in our churches. When this transformation takes place, these agencies will become instrumentalities by which God will impart heaven's light to the world, and thus, through divine discipline and training, fit men and women for the society of heaven. Jesus has gone to prepare mansions for those who are preparing themselves through his love and grace for the abodes of bliss. In the family of God in heaven, there will not be found one who is selfish. The peace and harmony of the heavenly courts will not be marred by the presence of one who is rough or unkind. He who in this world exalts self in the work given him to do will never see the kingdom of God unless he is changed in spirit, unless he becomes meek and lowly, revealing the simplicity of a little child.
Chapter 14, The Only Safe Course.
Those who bear responsibilities in our institutions should daily seek the way of the Lord. They should not feel qualified to choose their own way, for in so doing they will walk in the light of the sparks of their own kindling. God alone is to be their guide. Those who seek a wider sphere, those who would have greater freedom than God appoints, those who fail to make him their counselor, their wisdom, their sanctification, and their righteousness will never win the crown of life. Day by day, the soul needs the religion of Christ. Those who drink deeply of his Spirit will not be ambitious for themselves. They will realize that they cannot go beyond the domain of God, for God reigns everywhere. He who is fully content to receive his commission from above will be cheered by the promises of God as he seeks to do justice and judgment. To have unwavering trust in God, to be a doer of his word, is to pursue a safe course. The counsel of God simplifies the perplexities of business transactions and domestic duties. The followers of Christ who work with an eye single to the glory of God will have heavenly wisdom. But it is a painful fact that in our churches and institutions, there is a great lack of true Christianity. May the Lord help those who are bearing responsibilities to unite with one another in their work and to become laborers together with God. Christ said to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." See Matthew 5:14. Then how important it is that every soul shall keep his light trimmed and burning, that he may give light to all with whom he comes in contact. God has made his people the depositaries of sacred truth. Talents have been committed to them for wise improvement, for God designs that by constant use their talents shall be multiplied.
Chapter 15, The Danger from Enlargement.
My brethren, the enlarging of your facilities, the increasing of your numbers, is not after the order of the Lord. Large buildings call for large patronage, and large patronage calls for men of education and talent, and for men of deep religious experience to conduct the institution in the ways of God. And to manage it with tact and skill demands that there shall be a general increase in spiritual experience, that the fear of God shall circulate through the sanitarium in order that popular patronage shall not mold and fashion it, and thus cause it to cease to be that which God designed it to be, a refuge for the poor and lowly. Those who are steadfast to the truth should not be set aside in favor of worldlings. Prices should not be set so high to meet current expenses that the poor will, to a large extent, be excluded from the benefits of the sanitarium. With the present talent and facilities, it is impossible for the physician-in-chief to do all that is essential to be done in the various branches and departments, much as he may desire to do this. It is not possible for him to give personal supervision to all parts of the work. This matter has been opened up before me again and again. While there is continual growth in the institution, while the buildings are enlarging and the responsibilities increasing, there is not a corresponding growth in the talent and capability necessary for the management of so large an enterprise. Will our physician-in-chief and the members of the board consider this? My brother, you are not immortal. I thank the Lord that you are as wise concerning your health as you are. But you cannot always do as you are now doing. Your health may fail. Your life is uncertain. And it has been said before me that there ought to be 3 times as large a working force in the sanitarium as there is. Even then, the workers would all have an abundance to do if they did their work well.
Chapter 16. The Question of Wages.
The institution is now in a prosperous condition, and its managers should not insist upon the low rate of wages that was necessary in its earlier years. Worthy, efficient workers should receive reasonable wages for their labor, and they should be left to exercise their own judgment as to the use they make of their wages. In no case should they be overworked. The physician-in-chief himself should have larger wages. To the physician-in-chief, I wish to say, although you have not the matter of wages under your personal supervision, it is best for you to look carefully into this matter, for you are responsible as the head of the institution. Do not call upon the workers to do so much of the sacrificing. Restrict your ambition to enlarge the institution and to accumulate responsibilities. Let some of the means flowing into the sanitarium be given to the institutions needing help. This is certainly right. It is in accordance with God's will and way, and it will bring a blessing of God upon the sanitarium. I wish to say particularly to the board of directors, remember that the workers should be paid according to their faithfulness. God requires us to deal with one another in the strictest faithfulness. Some of you are overburdened with cares and responsibilities, and I have been instructed that there is danger in your becoming selfish and wronging those whom you employ. Each business transaction, whether it has to do with a worker occupying a position of responsibility or with the lowliest worker connected with a sanitarium, should be such as God can approve. Walk in the light while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. It would be far better to expend less in buildings and give your workers wages that are in accordance with the value of their work, exercising toward them mercy and justice. From the light that the Lord has been pleased to give me, I know that He is not pleased with many things which have taken place in reference to the workers. God has not laid every particular open to me, but warnings have come that in many things decided reformation is needed. I have been shown that there is need of fathers and mothers in Israel being united with the institution. Devoted men and women should be employed, who, because they are not continually pressed with cares and responsibilities, can look after the spiritual interests of the employees. It is necessary that such men and women should be constantly at work in missionary lines in this large institution. Not half is being done that should be done in this respect. It should be the part of these men and women to labor for the employees in spiritual lines, giving them instruction that will teach them how to win souls, showing them that this is to be done not by much talking, but by a consistent, Christ-like life. The workers are exposed to worldly influences, but instead of being molded by these influences, they should be consecrated missionaries, controlled by an influence that elevates and refines. Thus, they will learn how to meet unbelievers and how to exert an influence that will win them to Christ. The following short extract is from a letter written in 1895 from Currumbong, New South Wales. God has a work for every believer who labors in the sanitarium. Every nurse is to be a channel of blessing, receiving light from above and letting it shine forth to others. The workers are not to conform to fashionable display of those who come to the sanitarium for treatment, but are to consecrate themselves to God. The atmosphere that surrounds their souls is to be a savor of life unto life. Temptations will beset them on every side, but let them ask God for His presence and His guidance. The Lord said to Moses, "Certainly I will be with thee," and to every faithful, consecrated worker the same assurance is given.
Chapter 17. Go Forth into Many Places.
Written at Currumbong, New South Wales, July 15, 1895. To a physician in Battle Creek. My dear brother, I received your letters yesterday and read them with deep interest. I am always glad to hear from you concerning your family and the institution in which you are bearing responsibilities of no ordinary character. Your only safety is in obeying the word of the Lord, in walking in the light of His countenance. The enemy is continually seeking to devise methods by which he may steal a march upon us, and we need to pay strict heed to the cautions given by God. If those who in the past have been standard-bearers in the work of God had walked in the lines that He has marked out, they would have better honored Him and would have had increased usefulness. Some whose voices are now silent in death might have lived to warn, entreat, and advise. If those who in past years had been entrusted with large responsibilities and heeded the warnings and entreaties of the Spirit of God, they would now be walking before Him in strength and efficiency. When men educate others to rely on them and trust in them, when, by pen or voice, they dictate to others as to what they should do, they are teaching others to make flesh their arm, to give glory to human beings rather than to God. We are safe only as we exalt Christ, speaking in praise of His excellence. Isaiah says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon His kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Read Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. There is danger that men will receive the counsel of men, when by so doing they will discard the counsel of God. Oh, what lessons all must learn before they will understand that God seeth not as man seeth. The Lord says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Unless there is a decided reformation among the people of God, He will turn His face from them. My brother, there is need of constant watchfulness, lest in Battle Creek building shall be piled upon building and advantage heaped upon advantage. The means thus expended will testify against us. You should put wise plans into operation and scatter the influence that is centering in Battle Creek, diffusing the light that God has given you. Blessed are they that sow beside all waters. The more there is invested in Battle Creek, the greater will be the demand for additional investment. But this is not in the order of God, and before a very long period of time shall pass, the mistake of centering interests in Battle Creek will be made evident. In adding building to building in Battle Creek, we are encouraging neglect of other fields. Superabundant advantages there mean destitution elsewhere. Other parts of the vineyard are robbed of the means they should have. Means should be invested elsewhere in winning souls to the truth and in providing houses of worship for them. God has pointed out the fact that it is the duty of those in Battle Creek to help His institutions in other places. As a wise steward of means, you should scatter your forces, using the power of your influence to help those in darkness to know God as He is.
Chapter 18, The Need of Broader Plans.
How many towns and cities there are that are utterly neglected. Our people are injuring themselves by crowding into one place. When trees in a nursery are crowded thickly together, they cannot grow healthfully and sturdily. Transplant trees from your thickly planted nursery. God is not glorified in the centering of so many advantages in one place. Give room. Put your plants in many places where one will not lean for support upon another. Give them room to grow. This the Lord demands of you. The means expended in enlarging your advantages in Battle Creek, which are already overgrown and have passed reasonable limits, should be used in establishing missionary stations elsewhere. You should broaden your plans and widen the field of your operations. You should send wise men into the cities and towns that have not yet heard the gospel message. Pick out the best men you can possibly spare, and give them opportunity to become caretakers and burden bearers. Let them have opportunity to develop the talents that in the past have lain idle. Place them where they can use their God-given abilities in calling sinners to repentance. Let men make it manifest that they love God and have a chance to do something for Him. Let men learn to pray earnestly, and let them make their prayers short and right to the point. Let them learn to speak of the world's Redeemer and to lift up the man of Calvary higher and still higher. All the preaching in the world will not make men feel deeply the need of the perishing souls around them. Nothing will so arouse in men and women a self-sacrificing zeal as to send them forth into new fields to work for those in darkness. Prepare workers to go out into the highways and hedges. Do not call men and women to the great center, encouraging them to leave churches that need their aid. Men must learn to bear responsibilities. Not one in 100 among us is doing anything beyond engaging in common worldly enterprises. We are not half awake to the worth of the souls for whom Christ died. We need wise nurserymen who will transplant trees to different localities and give them advantages that will enable them to grow. It is the positive duty of God's people to go into the regions beyond. Let forces be set at work to clear new ground, to establish new centers of influence wherever an opening can be found. Rally workers who possess true missionary zeal, and let them go forth to diffuse light and knowledge far and near. Let them take the living principles of health reform into the communities that, to a large degree, are ignorant of these principles. Let classes be formed, and instruction be given regarding the treatment of disease. It is a fact that, through the influence of the sanitarium, the truth of heaven has come to the notice of thousands. Yet there is a work to be done that has been neglected. Money has been expended in enlarging facilities in Battle Creek, when the Lord desires the leaven to be introduced into the mass of meal, that the whole may be leavened. Instead of building after building being added to the sanitarium, there should be at this time many institutions fully equipped and in working order in other places. There are men who have been long connected with the sanitarium, who will always be shadows of someone else if they are retained there, when, if they were permitted to rely upon their own judgment, they would become deep, self-reliant thinkers, capable of giving wise counsel. Let these men have a chance to learn to bear responsibilities in the strength of God, Thus, they will gain an experience that will enable them to impart the truth to others.